Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. Trevor, welcome to this beautiful Tuesday morning in which we are going to embark upon the mission of looking at all 32 NFL teams in their current situations heading into the offseason before anything's even happened, basically. Only a few things have even happened this offseason. A couple people got extensions. We heard about Alex Smith's leg. That's about it. Antonio Brown's probably getting traded.
We heard about Alex Smith's leg.
I feel bad, man. Like, it's going to throw a wrench in the whole draft.
He's never going to play again, right?
I honestly don't. I mean, let's probably not.
Let's be real about it.
Probably not. Could he hypothetically get cleared again? Maybe. He's like his age.
Yeah.
Why would you really want to? Like,
how old is he?
I don't know, 30 something, 33 maybe. Hang on.
No, it doesn't make any sense because he's going to sit out all 2019. He has to. You just can't. And then he'll be like 35. I don't know by then. And even
he's 34. He'll be 35 in May, right after the draft.
Okay, so he'll be 36 when he can play again. And we're not talking about like Aaron freaking Rodgers over here. Like if it was Rodgers, yeah. He could come back and like maybe get like the tail end of.
Sure.
What would have been his peak, then I get it, but...
Right.
I mean, Alex Smith was going to hang it up in, like, 4 years anyways, right? You're cutting that in half and you give him a major injury. It just doesn't really make any sense. Like, dude, you are hopefully able to walk correctly after this. Like, live your life. You've got enough money. I don't know. But I don't think he's ever going to play again.
I agree. Although we're not talking about the NFC East today. We're talking about the AFC East.
Sorry. Went on a tangent there.
But,
sorry.
No, but yeah,
I was
points.
Just talking about it yesterday, so I wanted to get in on it.
Well, I think it's interesting because it does kind of – we're going to talk about a team. Really, I think – let's just start with talking about Miami and talking about the Dolphins. One of the two teams that I saw it, you know, as of a couple months ago anywhere, weeks ago, as one of the two teams in the NFL that absolutely needs a quarterback. You can talk about whether Oakland needs one, talk about whether Denver needs one, talk about whether the Giants need one. It's up for discussion. You can talk about the Bengals even if you want. There's no question. Miami needs a quarterback. Ryan Tannehill will not be the guy. They have nobody on the roster. They need a quarterback. Jacksonville needs a quarterback. Now Washington, as you were just mentioning, is probably in that mix. As of reported, I think it was yesterday, it reported – that Alex Smith's, you know, probably going to be out this next season. Like you said, at his age, you're probably going for your guy of the future anyway. No chance that you're counting on him to return. So you're looking if you're Washington at the very least. I don't think you're looking for a stopgap guy either, maybe, unless you hate this crap of quarterback. So if those are the three teams, and Miami's one of them, and they're drafting smack in the middle of all those teams, what do you do if you're the Dolphins in this position at quarterback? You know, do you love a guy enough to move up for him? Could you sit there at 13 and say maybe somebody falls to? I don't know. That just it doesn't seem like well, that happens so, outside the top 10 much anymore.
We got to think that. Okay, so we both agree that the phrase is true. You either have a quarterback or you don't.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
They're not. I mean, outside of signing Bridgewater,
Foles.
There's not.
But again, it's a stopgap option.
Right.
Foles
like,
isn't the guy long term. You're still
right.
Looking.
Like I think that Foles is. Better than Keenum, don't get me wrong, but like you could just see this situation being another Keenum situation where you sign this guy to a 3-year deal, he's eating up a bunch of your cap because it's a quarterback contract and it has to be heavy just because he's the face of the team. And then like what happens if it all goes downhill 1 year? Then it's like, oh wow, okay, that didn't work. And even if it does, how close are the Dolphins to competing?
Right.
I don't think it makes a lot of sense for them to get a free agent as opposed to drafting a guy at, what do they pick, 13? They pick
13, right? Yeah, so I think you're right. You're exactly right in the way that you started and prefaced the discussion. You either have a quarterback or you don't. And if you take Nick Foles or if you take Teddy Bridgewater, who, by the way, I mean, we just are going to need to chill on Teddy Bridgewater. Like, I get it. I love the guy, but come on, man. Like, he's played in 2 games, barely. Since his injury, I mean, what's that, 4 years by the time next season rolls around? I don't know how in the world you pay that. I don't think he's going to get any type of big deal. Wouldn't surprise me if he goes back to New Orleans for cheap. I mean, I just don't think you're going to, I don't know how you pay him based on anything you've seen. He was solid in the preseason. I mean, come on, like, we can't be paying a guy coming off a major injury like that when he's played in parts of 2 regular season games and frankly hasn't looked good at all in either of them. It just, yeah. I don't know, that just seems, I love Teddy Bridgewater. I love him. I just, We have to be realistic. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And I don't think teams are going to think it makes sense either. So you're right. There are no real options here at the quarterback position. People have been throwing around Andy Dalton trade for, you know, Joe Flacco trade, you know.
Again, doesn't make sense. That would make sense for Miami. Would not make sense.
Right. It doesn't do anything for you to trade for Joe Flacco at this point. Now, whether they see it that way or not will remain to be seen. But Miami, if you're looking at their needs, clear cut, number one need, without question, is the quarterback position. The draft, honestly, in some ways, hinges on the fact on whether or not Miami will be able to either move up for a quarterback, whether they sit there and take one, or whether they don't care about the position, right, pass on it, and just suck for next year.
I'm gonna fire some questions off at you, okay? I'm gonna name a quarterback. You tell me right now, gun to your head, will they be available at 13? Okay?
Okay.
Dwayne Haskins.
No.
Drew Lock.
No.
Daniel Jones.
Yes.
Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you agree?
Do you think? I think I agree with you. Now the question is, if you're Miami, do you pull the trigger on one of those two?
That's where it gets tough, isn't it? Not Daniel Jones for sure. I know that one. Kyler Murray is way more intriguing, super risky. I have no idea what Brian Flores prefers in a quarterback. I mean, just no clue.
Really weird hire,
yeah,
isn't it?
Strange hire for sure. Yeah, no question about
it. I mean, he's better than Gase because I think that Gase is an absolute nutcase.
Right,
so.
I do too. Yeah, I do too. But yeah, I don't know what to – I mean, I know most Patriots assistants haven't done well. I hate to paint with that broad of a brush. I would like to give him a chance to succeed or fail on his own. But certainly the trend is I can understand why some would find it troublesome. But, yeah, I think this is – this is Dolphins are just a complete, they're just blank across the camp. Like, I have no idea what to expect from this organization this offseason. I just don't know who they're going to value, what kind of quarterback they're looking for. So we just, it's ears to the ground for Miami, I think, at this point. You're just trying to figure out what the strategy here with this team could be like. Let's step away from the quarterback situation for a second because there are tons of other needs on this team. It seems weird to put edge defender amongst them since they traded for Robert Quinn last offseason. They signed Andre Branch to a big deal a couple years ago. They drafted Charles Harris in the first round, but Branch and Quinn are probably getting cut. And Charles Harris has been a complete bust, and Cameron Wake is getting up there, and I think he's a free agent, actually. They might bring him back for a year, but there is no answer on this team at edge defender. I mean, they are almost clean slate territory. I don't know that Charles Harris is even a lock to make this roster at this point. So that puts them in a situation right now where that is a huge need. And if you don't address it at 13 at a need that, at a position that's that important for your team and that important on the football field that it's going to come off the board quickly, you're going to have a hard time addressing it at all, I think, in the draft, at least definitely to the degree that you would if you took one at 13, obviously.
Okay, wait, can I play the same game but with edge rusher?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, this is a will. Are they going to be available at 13
okay.
for the Miami Dolphins? Okay. And you just got to, I know that, all right, whatever. Nick Bosa.
No.
Brian Burns.
No. No.
Josh Allen.
No.
Montez Sweat.
Yes.
Ja'Kai Polite.
Yes.
Okay, those are the five.
What about Farrell?
Oh, yeah. Clelin Farrell.
Yes, they'll be available.
So you think they'll be able to pick between
Farrell, Sweat, and Polite. Maybe Burns. But I don't think so.
I wouldn't move then.
It depends on what. It depends on the situation at quarterback,
no,
doesn't
I'm,
it?
I'm not moving. Yeah, I'm not moving for an edge rusher. No way.
Oh, moving up, you mean? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah. No, I'm not moving up for an edge rusher. But I'm taking one of those three.
Right. Okay, so it's, let's say quarterback, hypothetically, they feel like at least they've filled that need in the offseason. Because if not, they're going to move up, right? They're not going to sit at 13. If they go into the draft with Brock Osweiler and David Fowles on their roster,
they're moving up.
They're moving up, right? They got to. I mean, I just think it'd be really
Hey, they trade back with Tampa Bay. Come on down.
Yeah, that's
– Give us the farm.
It's a legit option.
Can get ahead of Jacksonville and the Giants.
It's a legit option for more teams probably than just Tampa Bay. There's probably a couple others that we might jump on a situation like that as well. So there's obviously lots to consider with Miami, but the need at edge rusher and it being such a primary spot on a roster is interesting. This is a pretty good edge rusher group in free agency. Probably worth mentioning that. Brandon Graham, Trey Flowers, trying to remember who all is in this upcoming group. But I think they're going to have some options. So that's going to be another part to watch kind of here is how much Brian Flores and Chris Greer kind of want to go after guys in free agency as opposed to the draft. Because, yeah, you have Ezekiel Ansah's out here. DeMarcus Lawrence probably is not going to be available, but worth discussing for sure. And then, of course, they need a wide receiver for Miami as well. I don't think we can forget about that, although it's probably unlikely. Given their current roster layout, probably unlikely to be addressed in the first round.
No, no way. But no, the draft is too rich in day two for wide receivers.
Correct. And remember, they just signed, Amendola, even though I know they're not long-term answers. They signed Amendola, and they have Jakeem Grant on this team, and they signed, Albert Wilson, who I found out Dolphins fans think that he's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday when I said that it was kind of a disappointing free agent return for him. But so even if Parker's gone, those guys and Kenny Stills, you don't need one till later in the draft, I think. So Miami's whole offseason, focusing on the quarterback position, basically, where they're finally going to move on from Ryan Tannehill. Which brings me to my last question before we move on to Buffalo. Does Ryan Tannehill end up starting somewhere else in 2019?
What a question.
Week one. I mean, like a preferred starter, not a guy who gets in because of an injury or a benching or something like
that. No, he's going to do what Glennon did.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Even if you just look around the league, I don't know that there's a lot of spots where it would even make sense. Like pretty much everybody in the league has locked in on their starter, you know? Nobody like Jacksonville or like the Giants and the Raiders are going to see him as an upgrade, in my opinion, over what they have. So to me, I just think he ends up going somewhere as a depth guy. Maybe they see a little upside in him, you know, but I don't think he's a starter. Okay, Buffalo. A lot of people would say this is the team in the NFL with the most needs. I don't know if I'd go quite that far. Oakland's still a team in the NFL, I think. But wide receiver for the Bills, certainly an option. Offensive tackle could be an option. They have definitely Deion Dawkins is locked in on the left side, but Jordan Mills on the right side, you trying to move on from him. I feel like they kind of like what they have in Wyatt Teller in that left side of the line might be set, but certainly center, right guard, right tackle, all options for them as they enter the offseason. Don't forget about the defensive side of the ball. I know everybody's trying to find talent to put around Josh Allen, and they should. That should be the top priority, but defensive side of the ball as well. Interior defensive line, edge defender, Star Lutulele, kind of a run stuffer. You lose Kyle Williams now to retirement. Harrison Phillips, Jordan Phillips, a free agent, flashes a little bit, maybe he's back, but can you count on him? None of those guys really bring juice as a pass rusher. I think that's kind of a big need for them is the interior defensive line. And then, of course, on the edge, things are just weird, I guess. I mean, Jerry Hughes is here, but is he really he hasn't been a really highly productive starter for a long time. Trent Murphy came over, quiet season. Shaq Lawson's been a bust. So it's a need, but do they consider it a top need? Are they okay with kind of the way things are built right now? Definitely something to consider. And then I guess it's the only other question is Levi Wallace at the other corner opposite Trey White. And are they comfortable with that? He played well down the stretch last season. I don't know if he has the tools, I would say, to be a long-term starter, but certainly an interesting option there. I don't know, Trevor. When you look at this Bills roster, where do you see is the most important thing? Do you think there's a clear direction with number nine that they should go in?
I really don't, but I actually think that kind of works to their advantage. Like, I think number nine has got to either be a wide receiver, a right tackle, or a pass rushing interior defensive tackle. And I think where they're picking in the draft at number nine kind of sets up for that really well, especially if any of these teams behind them are going to move up and start jumping a couple of teams. Then who knows? You might have your pick of you might be able to go into the draft thinking, hey, we want to come away with at number nine, if we don't trade down, we want to come away with either DK Metcalf, Cody Ford, or Ed Oliver. I think that it is well within the realm of possibility that they have a chance at all three of those guys. I think Oliver is probably the one who would be most likely to not make it to them. But I think that if you go into the draft with that mindset, if you're the Bills, I think you got a good shot at making that happen. I think all three of those impact players would really help shape where they wanted to go and where they wanted to address some of those weaknesses. Because like you said, Lotulelei, and my thing with, you know, I'll just start with Oliver. Oliver, with his weight, you don't really want him taking on double teams very often. If you can get him to one gap and sit in between gaps as much as possible and be able to shoot between offensive linemen, use his hands, be quick.
It's a good fit, at least.
That only happens if you have a guy who can really take on some meat in the middle. And that would be Lotulelei as that guy. And so you don't really even have to make him a pass rusher. You could just be, let Ed Oliver be that guy. DK Metcalf, I think it's kind of understood that just he's an absolute freak. So he would totally help Josh Allen. And then obviously, you know, you said you got Dawkins on that left side and Cody Ford. Already a right tackle, knows how to play. He's a good offensive lineman. I think that's a natural little upgrade for them, especially at the tackle spots. And so I think you can get guard. I think you can get interior offensive line, even like in that third round, like your second round, third round, whatever you want. You can pick up another guy there. And I think that they have a good shot at addressing two of their needs with two potential starters next year.
My take is that if Buffalo doesn't love one of the tackles that's on the board or one of the tackles in the class, maybe they can move up for one. I don't know. But if they don't love one of the offensive tackles at number nine, if they stay there, they're trading back. I don't think they're going to take a receiver that high. I don't think they're going to take an interior offensive lineman that high. I think they could trade back and they could take both maybe later on in the draft. I don't know. I don't see them value. I think they value the trenches. I think they value the quarterback position. I don't know that they're going to take one that high. I just don't think so. So if they don't fall in love with the tackle there, I think they're moving back. I think they could move back and look at Garrett Bradbury. They could look at Chris Lidstrom, maybe potentially, depending on how far down they moved or if they grabbed another pick. I think they could look at a ton of different receivers. I don't think it's just DK Metcalf. Marquise Brown could be on their radar. I know they kind of have a similar guy, I think, already in Robert Foster, but Kiel Harry, Calvin Harmon. I think those guys could be guys on their radar as well, but I think they need, if they don't get an offensive tackle early, I think that's what they're going to do. I mean, there's a couple options, though, so there's a good chance they stay at nine or potentially even jump
Buffalo's
up.
Buffalo's in a good spot, I think.
They are, yeah. I think so. I mean, they could stay at nine and take a good player still, but I think they're going to feel like they can move down and get one.
I was on the Locked On Lions podcast earlier this week, and we actually were kind of talking about that. If you're a team picking in the top 10 and you don't need a quarterback, chances are you're in a good spot whether you stay there or not, because you'll probably end up needing a premier position, which premier is either quarterback, edge rusher, offensive tackle, or I think really shut down corner. You're either taking one of those guys and you're getting a top 10 pick out of it, or you're trading back and it ain't hurting you that much. Maybe you pick up a couple. So, yeah, I mean, you're obviously picking in the top 10. Your roster ain't that great normally. So, right. Man, if you're in the top 10, you don't need a quarterback. You're in a pretty decent situation. So I think Buffalo has a real chance to improve their roster in a lot of different ways.
Right tackle, though, if that's where they're looking and they're comfortable with Dawkins staying on the left side, Cody Ford makes sense. Jawan Taylor from Florida, I'm telling you, his name is going to be on there, man.
No, you're right.
Your boy. They're going to be considering him there. Probably Greg Little gets considered here, I would guess, for most NFL teams anyway. We'll see if the Bills are one of those teams. I feel like I'm forgetting someone, too. I don't know. I don't think Reisner gets considered here by NFL teams.
No, not nine.
Good player, though. Good player. That's kind of my thoughts on the Bills in the first round, and obviously free agency is going to play a big role in all this, and we'll see how active they are. Patriots, man, fresh off a Super Bowl victory, in my opinion, and in yours? Mm-hmm. Yes, you agree? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I ain't betting against Brady. Get out of here.
Fresh off a Super Bowl victory, they are picking last in the first round. There are some needs here. There's a lot of needs.
This team ain't good.
I know, but
this team's not good.
They're good on the offensive line. They're good at the quarterback position. They're good at the offensive line. They're good at the quarterback position, and they're good at head coach.
They got the best head coach in the game. They got
the best quarterback of all time,
who's the GOAT, and they got the best offensive line coach of all time, where you could just draft a sixth rounder and it'll somehow make whipped cream out of poop, go win you a Super Bowl.
That's well said, sir. And the offensive line is terrific. And remember, Isaiah Wynn's not even playing right now. So
unreal, dude.
That's a spot they don't have any needs, in my opinion. But on the defensive line, edge pass rushers, interior D linemen, they're actually in a fine spot on the board, I think. I don't even move up and get one if you want an edge rusher, if you fall in love with somebody, but I don't know if that we're going to see that happen.
Question.
Yes.
Does Derek Rivers suck?
He definitely didn't get the explosiveness back yet. Sometimes it takes a while for guys, but He was a healthy scratch for a while. Then lately he's been playing again. And I think he got a sack toward the end of the season, but definitely has not looked great so far. No way can you count on him for sure. Flowers is a free agent. Patriots are weird. Ordinarily I'd say obviously he comes back, but Patriots are weird, man. I don't know what's going to happen. We'll have to wait it out and see, because they'll let guys walk sometimes, but Flowers is a really good player and exactly their type of player, so they might make the exception and try and bring him back. But still, you need another edge pass rusher. Like I said, don't think you can count on Rivers. Claiborne's a nice guy to have on the roster, but
you know, but who are you picking at edge at basically the top of the second round?
Charles Omenihu from Texas is one option.
Montez Sweat,
I think he's still going to be on the board.
No way.
I don't buy the top 10. Dude, edge pass rushers.
I
don't
buy the top 10 hype because no, but.
Edge pass rushers who aren't super explosive and can't bend don't end up going that high. When he doesn't test that.
Charles Harris went like 21.
But that's the thing. He was super explosive, but just didn't matter. Although his testing was terrible. You're right about that. But no, I think that's, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's a possibility.
That just goes to show you can't trust the tape, like I've always said.
Sweat's a good player. I don't want to make it sound like he isn't, but he's just not that dynamic. And maybe he's already gone at that point. Maybe one of the teams right ahead of New England takes him, but still up some options. I mean, how high do we think Cleveland Farrell's going to go? Somewhere in the teens?
Yeah, early teens.
I tend to agree with you right now. I tend to agree with you. I'm open to the fact that the NFL may not be in love with him, but I do tend to agree with you that he'll be around.
I think Cleveland would go anywhere from 5 to 15. Okay. Not that he's going 5 overall. I'm saying, like, I guess, like, if I'm being...
That range, I get you.
Right. Yeah, like, I think, if I'm being more accurate, 8 to 15.
Okay, I don't think he goes top 10. No way. I think he's a good player, though. Not my opinion. I just don't know if the NFL is going to find him attractive in the top 10. We'll see. Wide receiver for the Patriots is the other kind of tricky position where you got to look at, and tight end, to be honest with you. Nah. It wouldn't surprise me if they try to grab a really good tight end in the back end of the first round. But wide receiver, I mean, man, this is a really, I don't know, like, are you counting on Cordarrelle Patterson, Philip Dorsett next season?
Don't need him.
So you're just saying scrap it. It doesn't even matter who plays wide
receiver. It truly doesn't matter.
I kind of agree, but
if nobody can cover Julian Edelman on the same route for the last 7 years, it just doesn't matter.
In my head, I disagree, but like, I know also internally that it won't matter when they get out of the field.
Plus, they got Braxton Berrios coming back from IR next year. It's a wrap.
Oh, goodness. Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman, and Braxton Berrios on the field at the same time. Can't wait for it.
Andy Isabella returned punts.
Yes. Hunter Renfrow in the sixth.
Wow.
Done. Okay, New England, I think we've kind of identified where they need to hit, at least in the offseason. And I think, honestly, there's going to be options for them late in this draft. The interior defensive line is the tricky part because some of those guys went back to school, Derek Brown and Raekwon Davis and some of those guys. I wonder kind of who's going to be that fifth one off. If it does go Simmons and Wilkins, is Dexter Lawrence in that mix? And does he go that high? And where does Jerry Tillery hit and Gerald Willis? I don't think quite this high for those guys, but we'll see how the board unravels, certainly. Let's talk about the New York Jets, man. This is under the leadership.
New York football Jets.
The wise guidance of Adam Gase and Dowell freaking Loggins and Greg Williams. A horrendous coaching staff has been put together
lead
Sam Darnold into the next stage of his NFL career.
They got to do all or nothing on this team.
Are plentiful. Oh, I mean, they're not going to, because I think the Raiders are an option, but yes. Yes.
No, no, Hard Knocks is going to do the Raiders, right?
Sorry.
I need all or nothing. I want the whole season.
Yeah. So for next year, I got you. So 2020 all or nothing would be on 2019 Jets season. Just watch Adam Gase just at every moment, just wig out him, like a lunatic.
Him and Greg Williams on the same staff.
I cannot fathom how Dowell Loggins gets hired as an offensive coordinator in the NFL. In the year 2018, 2019, whenever he got actually hired. It was 2019. Unbelievable. I mean, this is reeks of the Mike McCoy hire, but it probably is even worse. I mean, this is a joke. But we digress. What do the Jets need? How can they somehow make the most of this dismal situation? We've been saying edge pass rusher for the Jets for years, man. Like, and I think we're finally with a guy who values it. I mean, Greg Williams, just what, in the time he was in Cleveland, didn't they they took Miles Garrett when he was there. Jannard Avery was a beast when he was there. I think he really values edge pass rush. We know he values pass rush. We know he values blitzing, and he loves to blitz. But I think also the ability to have guys that win 1v1, I think he knows how important that is, and I think he values that. So I think edge pass rush will be, not just because of Williams, but Gase at the same time. You know, traded for Robert Quinn when they were there. They drafted Charles Harris in the first round. They signed Andre Branch because they thought he was going to be a guy. You know, mistake, sure, across the board. But, you know, I think they gave Wake even an extension while he was there. I mean, he valued edge pass rush. He valued having three or four of those guys on the field and being able to rotate people. There was no question about that. And the Jets don't have one. The Jets don't have one impact player on the edge. Not one. So I will be floored if they don't address it in free agency to some degree and probably use their first pick on the position. I mean, I really am. I think there's other positions they need. They need an offensive tackle. They need a wide receiver. They need interior offensive line help. But until that position gets addressed in some way, shape, or form, I won't mock another position of the Jets. I just can't do it. I don't think there's a need anywhere else compared to.
Yeah, I think the two players that make the most sense, especially for the Jets, are Josh Allen and Jakai Polite. And you're not. I don't think you're picking Jakai Polite. They're picking three overall.
You hating on Brian Burns?
Huh?
You hating on Brian Burns?
No, I just think that I think that those two guys would be more comfortable from like stand up 3-4 positions. But
well, Greg will probably play a 4-man front. My guess would be because they're.
Oh, does
he? They'll probably change that front. He did have our Avery stand up on occasion.
I thought he was pretty multiple in Cleveland.
He will be multiple, yeah, but most of the time they play with two down on the edge. I mean,
okay.
He doesn't drop his guys a ton, but
yeah, you could throw Burns in there too. I think those three would be good options for him, but the only one you're picking at three is, I mean, I guess it seems like Josh Allen. He seems to be getting most of the hype. I don't know how much more I like Josh Allen than those other two guys, but it just seems like his hype is pretty much locking into the top five, and so
there's no way Jakai Polite goes off the board at three, right? No chance.
No, I don't think so. But I mean, like, I think Jakai is as talented as Josh Allen is, but
okay.
I don't think that. I mean, I disagree with you,
to be honest. Jakai is a very talented football player.
There is not, right? Like, I honestly, I don't know how much of a difference there is between Josh Allen and Jakai Polite, especially talent-wise. I think their ceilings are really high.
Those two and Burns are all in the same bucket for me. I really like all three of them.
There's clearly not the same amount of hype for Jakai or Brian Burns even than there is from Josh Allen. And that we get from the big draft media people who do a lot more talking on the inside. Now, sometimes they get lied to. Like, I'm not always saying that they're always correct. But, you know, when guys like... You know, when they start mocking dudes at three overall, it's like
right here. Sure. The Jets are just such a hard team, you know, here, I think. And I'll tell you why in just a second here. But first, we got a message from our friends over at MyBookie. Ever since we started this podcast, people asking us for advice, usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, we don't always know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust us, guys. They are your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Locked On is the promo code to activate the offer. Super Bowl coming up just around the corner. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code Locked On when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Jets are in a tricky spot to me, Trevor, because I just look at this team and I say they got to come. I just think they're going to covet Josh Allen. I think everything Josh Allen does, it thinks that Greg Williams covets. I think Adam Gase will listen to that, will respect that, will want that. I just think this is the player for them. But if Arizona picks Nick Bosa, the 49ers are going to take Josh Allen, right? Like
Josh Allen. Also, I've been told, I haven't met him personally yet because the combine hasn't happened. But I've also been told like he's an awesome dude.
Oh, he's
like
got, when yes. yes,
like when you get in the room with him, he's very. I don't know how to say this. Mature, astute, whatever. Like he's just an impressive dude from
confident,
what I've heard.
Yes, yeah,
when you get him in a room, and so that's got to make me think that probably going to be end up being a top five guy. So now there's a chance. You're right. It could go.
That's where, by the way, that's where, from what we've heard, Brian Burns and Josh Allen may separate themselves a little bit from Jakai Polite, right? As prospects.
Yeah.
From what we've heard.
Yeah. I haven't heard any, I guess, like concrete things about the other two, but I have not heard the praise for either two like I have heard for Josh Allen. Does that make sense?
Sure. I get you. I think that
by the way, you pick Quinnen Williams if you're the Jets.
If Nick Bosa and Josh Allen are off the board, you don't trade back. You pick Quinnen Williams.
No, I wouldn't even think twice about it.
I'm with you, dude, but these Jets fans are crazy.
Would not even think twice about it.
Especially if you trade Leonard Williams. That becomes a huge need.
You pick good players. That's it.
That becomes a huge need if you trade Leonard Williams. You get an impact player in the trenches, period. The disdain for the pick would be weird, and I'm glad you just went straight for it because that's what I was about to ask you. It's just, I get it. You have Nathan Shepard here. That's nice. You have Foley Fatukasi. I think he can be a nice player. Henry Anderson could be a nice player. But you trade Leonard Williams, and I think they will this offseason. Yeah, that's a hole, man. You don't have an impact player on the inside just yet. And Nathan Shepard, if he keeps developing, and Quinnen Williams on the inside with some of those other guys as rotational pieces, all of a sudden you've got a really stout front. You've got a difference maker, maybe two if Shepard comes along. I think you can't pass that up, man. That's important in today's NFL. We talk about edge pass rushers, but if the best two are off the board, I don't know, man. It's hard not to take arguably the best player in the draft. I know fans hate it because they're like, we took Leonard Williams and Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson all in the first round, and look how many Super Bowls we won. Well, that's not the way this works, folks. Yeah, a lot of other issues. That's why you didn't win the Super Bowl. It wasn't because you drafted three good interior defensive linemen, that's for sure. So there you go. There's our look at the AFC East and kind of where things could pan out as we move forward. Obviously, a long way to go. We got free agency to get through, which is going to change a lot of what we're saying now and a lot of where the focus of these teams should be. So we're excited for that. That's part of the process. We'll unpack that with you guys as it happens, but we'll keep diving into each of these divisions and taking a look at kind of what we have going into the offseason, going into the decision-making part of the offseason for you guys. So until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.